Another one that's pretty self-explanatory today, one of the all-time good guys of the Iowa Hawkeyes, Luke Lachey, joins the show. Recent graduate, tight end for the University of Iowa, trying to add his chapter in the legacy of tight end U at the next level in the NFL. We catch up with Luke as he's out in Cali training for the NFL draft. We go over his career, favorite memories, and a whole lot more. You're going to love it. Let's have a day. Let's go. Again, for another Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast, another huge guest today, another one of the recent graduates, recent seniors of the Iowa Hawkeyes, Luke Lachey, joins the show. Everybody in Hawkeye Nation is familiar with Luke, and from what I've heard from the reporters and teammates and coaches, Luke, you're the nicest guy to maybe ever go through the program. So no surprise that he's given us a time of day here, gave the walk-ons an hour. He's out in, I think, California training right now. So we're super stoked to have you here on the show, Luke.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I'm excited. Yeah, it's been, you know, definitely an awesome time, an awesome experience being a Hawkeye, and, you know, looking forward to the future, though.
That's a big future, huh?
That's the goal. Yep.
You watch, I can't imagine you weren't watching Laporta last night on TV.
I was, yeah. Yeah,
When you see a play like he made last night, do you envision yourself like that could be me?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's what you think. But you know, Sam's an incredible player. That was an amazing catch he made last night. And he had, a few other good catches and made some nice blocks too. So yeah, just super happy for him, and to see him succeed all the time is great.
What was he like to have in the room?
Oh, he was awesome. Great leader, great friend. He was really smart, and he like kind of led the way, you know, and in practice, you know, he practiced super hard, and, it kind of like pushed everyone to be better. So yeah, it was great to have him in the room for a couple of years.
You were in your second year, played in one game maybe or a couple games in your very true freshman year?
Yeah. My first year I played like in one, basically.
And then in your second year, you find yourself basically second on the depth chart to Sam Laporta. Mm-hmm. And in the Iowa offense, that means you're
playing 50% of plays.
Yeah. You're a starter essentially. Yeah. What was that like, that quick transition, that first year? Whirlwind, right?
Yeah, definitely a whirlwind. It was awesome though. It was so cool to be able to go out there. I remember my first play, we were playing against Indiana, and Tyler Goodson, we were just running a stretch to the right, and Tyler Goodson breaks up the sideline for like 50 or something. It was a touchdown, and I was like screaming, like running around and come off the field, and I'm like, geez, that's pretty awesome. I hope it's like that every time. And,
were you play side on that or backside?
I would play side. Yeah, we had two tight ends over there, so Sam and I were both over there. We were both kind of laid off the ball, actually, if you look at it, but it happens. It was loud in there that day, and we still scored, so it was fine. But yeah, it was crazy, and you know, definitely the play speed was like the biggest thing. You know, like it's all fast, and just had to get used to that.
That's one of those kind of plays that you come off the field and you're like, it's easy. It's that easy, right?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's easy when you got a running back as good as Tyler Goodson back there, you know, making moves. And he was so fast. I don't think he got touched on it. Maybe he did, but I can't remember him getting touched.
He had a few where he didn't get touched.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's so fast. But yeah, no, it was so cool though. And, definitely that whole first year was just kind of definitely a whirlwind. Like you said earlier, with, just like having to be put in there, but you know, I was excited for the opportunity, and kind of glad that I was in that position. You know, I got a lot of help from a lot of people there too, so it was good.
It would have been 21, right?
Yeah.
So that was the year where you guys got all the way up to second in the country. Huge game against Penn State. All three of us were at that game, one that we talk about. I mean, probably the biggest game in Kinnick in the last 4 or 5 years. What was that one like?
That was special. I always think about that, like being like my most like fun, most like memorable game in college. And yeah, I just remember that play to Nico, you know, all the time. Like it was, you know, a naked throwback and I'm on the other side and I got to decide, like Sam and I are discussing whether we got to like make a swap call or not, if I'm going to run the corner, if I'm going to block. And I'm like, Sam, you're blocking, I'm running. I'm just going to sprint as fast as I can down the field, run a corner and hopefully draw that safety away. And yeah, I mean, Nico ran a great route and Spence threw a good ball. And that was pretty cool too, to be in that one to go celebrate. So
I think that's the first time that you guys had ran that play that year, if I'm correct.
Yeah. Yes.
And then I saw you guys sprinkle it in a few, you guys ran out of a couple different formations though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So always like to see when coordinators, defenses have this saying that plays are expensive, formations are cheap. So it's a lot easier to come up with a new formation for the same trade, kind of same play, try to trick the defense's eyes. And honestly, it works pretty good. Cause I remember, I think the bowl game, we threw it to Laporta, didn't we?
Probably. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Kentucky, I think.
Yeah. Right? First Kentucky. Yes. I'm pretty sure we did. We also just thinking like other kind of like slip stuff like that. We ran one against Nebraska, just like, he's running and then he run blocking and then slips off of it. You know, Padilla threw it to him there in 2021. Just stuff like that to get open and stuff. We have so many different plays.
Do you ever have a favorite play that like it gets called in the huddle and you start getting a little excited?
I loved when we called like bench Dino. that was the play we would call kind of a joke, because it was like in practice we'd run it all the time against our defense and like it was always a 2-minute thing, and so like they're like, oh, here comes bench Dino, but it always worked, you know, I thought at least. And we ran it twice against Rutgers, and it worked. Two corner. It's basically a corner and, kind of just like a 5-yard out. So on the bench. And then two on the backside, a deep in and then a basic.
Okay.
So Sam and I, a lot of times we'd be on the bench side, so I'd have the corner or he'd have the corner, and then one of us would have the 5-yard out. And it's a cover two beater. So whenever we saw cover two in there, it was great. I liked that one a lot.
Just going fitting in between the corner and the safety there?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Exactly. And Spence always did a good job of like getting the ball out so fast, and he put it on me, so it was good.
Well, you're a pretty big target.
It's helpful.
Spence could zip it too.
Sometimes
a little too much. but I feel like that's every quarterback we've had for the last 10 years. CJ had a couple of those. Stanley certainly had a couple of those. All the way through. Let's go back to before a Hawkeye uniform. You're from Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody at this point knows that your dad is he's like the Dolph of.
He's like the Pat Angerer.
Okay, so he's play-by-play?
Yeah.
Or he's color. He's color.
Yeah.
So he's that's funny that it's Pat now.
Yeah.
which, by the way, we're going to have Pat on soon to recap his first year for everybody listening. And he's been doing that since before you can even remember? Or?
Yeah, 1997. Yeah, four years before I was born.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, you're all these 2000 babies. Unbelievable.
So fucking old now.
And so I have to imagine that, like, growing up, you're a Buckeye.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And, like, I know that Lystico and all that, like, they've done the stories on this, right? But, like, for the podcast's sake, that was the dream. Like, I'm going to get offered by Ohio State. I'm going to be a Buckeye. I'm going to score touchdowns in the horseshoe.
For sure. Like growing up, I feel like that's a lot of kids' dreams, you know, in Columbus, you know, there's like that. That's the place. That's the football team there, you know, like growing up, the Browns and Bengals kind of struggled. I mean, there were times that
they were bad.
I know. they struggled, and Ohio State was always, you know, pretty good. So, you know, that was just a team. And all my parents obviously both went there, you know, my dad played there, and then my three sisters all went to school there. And so growing up, I was all around it. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, that's the dream, you know, and then high school comes around and you start to get recruited a little bit, and you go and you see different places, and you kind of get more of a broaden your horizon there a little bit, and kind of see what's out there. So I don't know. It was definitely like the dream growing up, but then in high school, you kind of, you know, obviously you still like want that, you know, offer and stuff, and you know, want to be able to go there. But at the same time, it was my dad and I would talk, and we'd be like, yeah, they don't really use tight ends all that much. You know, they got great receivers that they're going to throw the ball to for sure. Yeah. And I don't know why you wouldn't when you got, you know, receivers that good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like kind of thing where you're like, you know, you want to maybe go and pave your own way. So that's kind of how it was in my sense.
So you were pretty aware of the impact opportunity that you'd have at the next level, as far as like, it'd be great to be a Buckeye, but if I go play for Iowa or somebody else, maybe, but certainly Iowa, since Kittle's been around, I'm going to get a lot of touches. I'm going to get a lot of plays.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I thought. And when I was being recruited, Noah and TJ had just gotten drafted in the first round. So it was also a pretty good selling.
Nice little year. Recruiting tour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tough to argue with those two.
Yeah.
They had a decent year.
Yeah.
So would you have been getting recruited by Urban then, or Ryan? When did Urban step down?
I had a phone call with Urban once, and I talked to him, but then Ryan Day was also doing some of the recruiting too. So it was like kind of in the mix there.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did he take over? 2019 was his first year?
I think it was 2019. Yeah.
Sounds about right. And your class of 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you didn't get a prom, did you?
No, I didn't. I got a junior prom and everything, but
not senior prom.
Yeah, exactly. No senior prom.
It's overrated.
Yeah, yeah, fair. But so I'm not too upset.
Luke, 6'6", Luke Lachey out on the dance floor, baby, just killing it.
Yeah, I'm probably doing some stupid Fortnite.
So game. You're what, like freshman high school, eighth grade, circa 2017. Did the state of Ohio just kind of collapse November, what was that, November 5th weekend, something like that, Clue?
Yeah, I don't remember what day it was, but
oh yeah, that day.
Yeah, that day.
It kind of did. So I was actually in Cincinnati. I was playing basketball the whole time, so I didn't even watch the game.
No,
but after I was like just there, like visiting a friend, and we were all just like playing basketball for like 3 hours, and I look on my phone, I'm like, dang, Iowa kind of smoked Ohio State.
Yeah, because let me tell you, Luke, long before you were catching passes in Kinnick, I was catching passes in Kinnick.
Let's go.
That's one pass. One pass. One 18 yards.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. It was awesome. It would have been more awesome if I scored. Nevertheless, here we are. Yep. And that's probably why I didn't get drafted. So you never end up getting offered by Ohio State officially, right?
Correct. Yeah. They gave me a gray shirt offer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you feel, does that put a little chip on your shoulder? Like, from what I can tell, you're the sixth rated tight end coming out of that class in the country. Mm-hmm. You're the third overall recruit in the state of Ohio, which is like outside of Texas, Florida, and California, Ohio's a good football state. Mm-hmm. And you had a lot of other D1 offers. Like, did that add a little fuel to the fire as you came to Iowa City?
You know, for sure. But at the end of the day, I was, you know, just excited for the opportunity, you know, to be a Hawkeye, you know, and it definitely adds a little bit. You know, you can't kind of get excited about, you know, the opportunity to play them one day. But yeah, I was just like kind of focused on, you know, just being a Hawkeye. You know, I don't know.
Was there, here's something interesting. So I'll try to draw a little bit of a comparison here. Chad Greenway, mm-hmm. who's way older than all of us, his daughter is a big-time basketball recruit.
Yeah, I've seen her highlight. She's a beast.
She's insane. I think, like, last week she dropped 51 on some team's head. Like, it's unreal.
Could have used her.
Yeah, would have been nice to get her. She's obviously a legacy, similar to how you would have been at Ohio State. And it's interesting to me, the psyche of a kid who – all they hear growing up is about their parents' career and about how they're a, you know, Chad Greenway. He's like one of the biggest Hawkeyes of all time. Mm-hmm. And to the rumor, I guess, or the sort of the talks is that his daughter Madden kind of wanted to go and create her own path. Right. So was there some of that with you? Like, I can go make my own story here in Iowa City in different colors.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's, you know, I've been around, like we said earlier, I was around Ohio State my whole life.
And yeah.
To be able to go and kind of write your own story and, you know, in a new place, in a place where I knew, you know, the head coach when I got there was going to be the same head coach when I left. You know, I thought that was pretty cool, you know, in this day and age. And I'm just super fortunate for him. You know, I'll just say that right now. Coach Ferentz is awesome. But yeah, definitely wanted to write my own story in that sense as well. And I know it was really cool to be able to have that opportunity.
If somebody asks you about Coach Ferentz, how do you describe that man?
I don't know. I just think of the word leader. That's the first thing that came to my mind. You know, he's a great man. Like, he comes, like, I, you know, it's a simple story and you guys know it. Like, he comes in the weight room and, you know, just comes around and says hi to everybody in there. It's like, I've talked to a couple people now, like, out here, and, you know, it's just like, that seems so rare, you know. And I don't know, it's so cool. And that's just like a small thing that he does, but it does make a big impact. And
not only does he talk to you, he comes by and he like asks how your sister's doing by
exactly,
name.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it, by name and knows everything, you know, and it's
everything.
Just great. Yeah. It's awesome. It is so cool. And obviously he's a great coach and knows how to lead. And on the field, he, you know, puts people in the right positions to succeed. And yeah, just really grateful for him.
So you come to Iowa City, you have that first, you've won game, and then you're kind of thrust into that 2021 season. In that 21 season, as we swing back around to it, is there a, or maybe it's in practice or camp leading up to that year, is there a welcome to the Big Ten moment for you?
I don't really
like you
know.
Come off the ball and a DN just jaw jacks you.
Oh, I'm sure it happened. You know, I can't pinpoint like one thing. You know, I'm sure it happened in practice, you know, going against Jack Campbell in blocks or something. Like was not pleasant.
That's,
you know,
tough. That's a tough assignment for you.
A tough assignment. You know, but I always think back to the Big Ten championship game going against Aiden Hutchinson, you know, on one side and then Ajabo on the other side.
Yep.
Yeah, that and, defense was legit.
Yeah, they were solid. Yeah, they were pretty good, and that was you know, kind of a moment I think about a lot. Like it's that, like, wow, we, you know, played against two first round picks on the edge there. So
speaking of Detroit,
go
ahead. Detroit could have used him yesterday. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely.
Going to that game though. So we were at that game. Do you think the entire game goes differently if we hit that halfback toss first opening drive and it's 7-0 Hawkeyes?
Yeah, you know, for sure. Like, it, you know, there's, I don't know how it would have impacted like maybe the outcome of the game, you know, but I definitely think it's a totally different like atmosphere for us, environment, and like we're going out there and we're you know, moving the ball a little bit more. It kind of just like felt like it killed us missing that, and then unfortunately missed the field goal after that too, and it's just like
that really hurt.
It really let the air out of the whole sideline. Yeah.
It's just tough.
Which is tough because I mean I think Michigan had 70% of the fans, if not more, in that night because they hadn't been to the championship yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, you know, we're expecting it to be a slugfest, and you guys come out, move the ball on the first drive, and I'm getting jacked up, and we're sitting in the Michigan section because we bought the tickets and after the Penn State game was actually we bought the tickets. So we had no idea where Iowa was gonna sit.
We were in the sky too. But we were hype in section 873 or whatever we were in. And I remember looking at you, Kev, after Shudak missed the field goal, and I was like, that's not a good sign.
No,
that's not that a hurts. Good sign. And then they draw up a couple perfect plays on the ensuing offensive possession.
Just, yeah, right after.
Well, we were playing field position like the entire second quarter, right? And like defense was doing a good job holding them back. And I feel like we kept getting the ball at the 50 and just one thing or another, we just couldn't get it going again. I don't know. We have our own Big Ten championship experience and it's painful. So I'm sorry for bringing this up for you.
It's all good. Yeah.
Luke's got two of them. So
yeah. Yeah, they're neither are fun memories to think back on.
It's great to get to the game, though. It's tough to get there. Like,
yeah.
You're probably not one who buys in or reads a lot of social media stuff, but like, as you get out into the world of like, maybe someday when you're not playing anymore, you're gonna realize people think it's super easy to win football games.
Yeah, no, they do.
Is there any way you can describe in your own words like how hard it is to even just go beat like Northwestern at 11 a.m. on a random October Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, literally anything can happen, I feel like. And, you know, and it's different in the NFL, but just like thinking to yesterday, like the Commanders-Lions game was so nuts.
Yeah.
Like, but like literally anything can happen. You know what I mean? Like, those are professionals. Like, they're really good football players, but you know, we're Division I football players playing in the Big Ten. Like, you know, things can happen, you know?
You're just one step below that. Right. And
exactly. So, I mean, like, you know, someone can be having a great day and it just, you know, get rhythm and that's how it goes. It's definitely tough. It's tough to do.
I mean, just that game yesterday, I think, what was it, 8.5-point spread, I think the line was, and
it was big.
Lose by 15, right?
Yeah.
Final score, 45-something, yeah. 45-28.
Yeah. 31, 45-31.
You never know.
So you guys have this rise to the top in 21 where you have that Penn State game. Now you're ranked number 2 in the country. I can only imagine we did not get ranked that high. I think the highest we ever were was like 4th or 5th, Kev, at the end when we were 12-0 before that Big Ten championship.
I think you guys got to 4.
Rankings.
I think we were in at 4 in the week before this.
You guys got to 4 for sure.
Okay. So I know kind of what the facility feels like that next Sunday. It's buzzing, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you come out the next week, you guys drop one, and then it leads into the end of that year where the Michigan Big Ten championship. And then from there has been this battle offensively of just trying to find identity, trying to find healthy players, you of which have your own story within that sort of arc of Iowa football where unfortunately you're out for pretty much all of 2023. A new offensive coordinator comes in this year. How difficult is it to navigate those struggles as a big part of that offense? And what was that like? Like, take us inside a little bit on that stuff.
Yeah, it was a struggle for sure. It's hard to be, you know, in the offense and, you know, playing, you know, big time football and, then all of a sudden it's gone like that. You know, you always hear those stories, like every play can be your last. And then you don't really think about it too much until you're in that position. You know, that was my first major injury. So like, I had never had anything like that, like throughout high school. And you know, obviously that was my first one in college, and just to be out was difficult, you know, and there's a lot of people that helped me get through that. And, you know, just really grateful for them. But then, you know, reading, you know, helped me out a lot too. And, you know, picking up new hobbies. I built Legos, which
I think I heard you're a big Lego guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Legos. And that was a big part of that was because my old roommate, Steve Stilianos, bought me a set once I got hurt. And
let's go.
Yeah. It was sick. Yeah.
That's like, the homie right there. Fun.
Right. Exactly.
What set was it?
It was him and his now wife bought me a Hogwarts castle. I'm a big Harry Potter fan.
Nice. I was thinking it was gonna be Star Wars, but all right.
Dude, yeah, no, there's a new Lego store in the Jordan Creek Mall, and the Hogwarts set, depending on which one you get, if you get the big one, it's like 300 bones.
Yeah,
it's legit
expensive.
Yeah, Legos are very expensive.
It's that NIL money. You get that Lego partnership.
You get that Lego money, dude.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but yeah, it was something that definitely helped me get through that injury. But, you know, and then just like having a goal in mind, like I was all of that season, I was trying to play in the bowl game. Mm-hmm. That was my goal. And so like it really helped me with my rehab, like coming in every morning with that, like in the back of my mind, like it helped me wake up at, you know, 4:50 a.m. to go in there and, you know, sit on the table and have them like you know, or do like toe yoga or like a little bit of mobility, and then, you know, eventually progress to walking around in the pool and get in on the boost treadmill or whatever. So it was, you know, it was a long recovery, but with that goal in mind, I think Dallas Clark told me it was a beautiful goal. You know, when I was deciding whether or not I was going to try to play in it, it was a couple weeks before, and I was like not really close at all to playing in the game. And, you know, it was a beautiful goal to have, but at the end of the day, it was not really smart to try to play in that game.
Right. I'm sure you've had multiple conversations with Dallas. I know he's around the program a lot. He comes back. We had him on this show about a year ago now.
Nice.
For episode 500, and that guy can talk, man. I mean, what was it like when you met him for the first time, and what kind of advice or insight has he given you?
Yeah, no, I was just kind of like in awe. You know, I didn't really know him too well before I got to Iowa.
Okay.
You know, I did a lot of research on the tight ends once I got here. And, you know, one of the games I watched was Ohio State versus Iowa in, 2017. I watched that one, like, just because it was Noah and TJ combined for four.
They're just teeing off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I watched a ton of highlights on everybody that, you know, came before. And, you know, to meet him, it was really cool. He's sitting in our meeting, and I was like, super tense, you know, like, but then you actually like talk to him, and he's like one of the nicest people, and you know, super helpful when it comes to football. And but yeah, you know, we you know, built a good relationship over, you know, my time at Iowa, and definitely something I'll, you know, someone I'll continue to talk to a lot. We were just texting the other day and trying to get on a call here soon. So, you know, definitely someone who's, you know, going to be helpful, you know, over the next couple of years.
That guy's energy just runs.
Yeah.
Deep.
Yeah, I know. It's always a joke too. Like, I don't know if he ever came and talked to your guys' team.
Every now and then.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Like, okay, not, so yeah. It seems like he's a lot more involved in the program now, but mm-hmm. I think two, three times.
I would say twice,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he always comes to one spring ball practice, or at least the last couple of years. He comes to one spring ball, it seems, and then one fall camp. And then he's at, like, every game. But, like, those, like, speeches when he comes, like, he has, like, a really good message, but then he kind of goes off on all these different tangents. So it's, minutes, and it's great.
His energy really takes over.
It is. It's really good. Like, I love the message. He just kind of gets off track a little bit.
He's so passionate, and he loves football so much that he just forgets what he's talking about. He'll just start going all, like, he's a great, like, commander, like general, like get up and get you ready for war kind of guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Yeah. Have you talked to he's always at tight end U too. And you're going to go through this process here this spring, and then they're going to do tight end you this summer. I would imagine you get the invite to go there. That's a really fun time. We got to go down there 2 years ago and do some interviews, and obviously hang with George and all those guys. I mean, at this point, half of the league is just Hawkeyes. But he's down there, and dude, he's out there doing the workouts, running routes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. I've seen the videos of that. And then, like, even just like when he comes to practice, just, you know, coaching us up a little, like, here and there. And I don't know, it's great. You definitely feel the energy and stuff, like something you can see too. So it's cool.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Would Abdul just kind of be like, all right, yeah, I mean, you know what you're talking about. Do your thing.
Definitely. Yeah. He a lot of times he'd just, you know, he'd ask him a lot of questions and tell him to help us out in whatever way, and just like kind of give him, you know, the keys. And Coach Hodge would obviously still be helping there and giving his input, but he'd ask him a lot of questions on what he saw on that. So definitely helpful.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you've got a Pro Bowl tight end in the building, generally want to listen to what they have to say.
Yeah, definitely.
What's Abdul like? He's obviously known in the Hawkeye lore as the linebacker, and then you know, another one of those guys, sort of like Coach Woods, who's taken over a position they didn't necessarily play at some point in their career. What's that like?
Yeah, it's awesome. I love Coach Hodge. He's a great coach. You know, I definitely think, like, he really knows how to really help, like, hone in on the details. I'd say, like, the biggest thing that he does is, like, helps us, you know, think about what we need to do on that play, you know, and, you know, make sure to remind us, like, before, like, watching film, just, like, what we need to do there. And, you know, I think that's super huge. And then it's also nice to have, like, a different perspective because, you know, him being a linebacker, he understands the position so well.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to be able to think about what maybe a linebacker would think on that play.
Sure. Because I mean essentially what the linebackers are doing is relevant in every single play where you're coming off the ball. So
definitely,
I didn't even think about that. I want to go back to your injury real quick. When you're this is just a very personal. I'm curious about it. When you get injured like that, and I don't know how much weight you had to put on when you got to Iowa, but was your weight management difficult under an injury like that where you weren't able to move a lot? What was like nutrition and all that, like during that 5 or 6 month recovery? Like,
yeah, I mean, I pretty much just ate what I normally eat.
Okay.
Coach Braithwaite didn't like make me, you know, stay on my optimum.
My goal. That's nice.
Yeah. Super nice. So I just had to weigh in and I was probably around like 245, you know, the whole time. Maybe after the surgery, I got down a little bit more, but probably it was around that. Like, I didn't lose a ton of weight. You know, I wasn't like gaining a ton of weight either, just kind of like staying around. And so it was fine. And, no real issues with that.
Okay.
I got a quick caveat about your injury. So our former co-host Drake, he had himself a little ankle fracture back in his day too. He needed the cart to get taken off the field. You obviously didn't. So I just want to put out there into the world that Drake is soft.
Yeah. Mentally weak.
Yes.
And Luke is much tougher and definitely a way better person, way nicer. So I'll tell that Drake to his face. He could call it right now. yeah. He threw a trash can one time at me.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, well, you.
Could have been, it might have been deserved, but
it was kind of deserved.
Nonetheless, he still threw a trash can at me. You make it back. When did you finally feel good again? Like when do you, like, spring ball?
Yeah, spring ball. Yeah.
And obviously that was a year ago, right about now.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're like 100% back? Like, or is it still like one of those injuries you feel like it's just never going to be the same again?
Yeah, no, I feel great. It doesn't really bother me. It's still puffy. It's like a lot like bigger than my other ankle, but
no, sure.
Yeah, just like I've been just trying to get that down for the longest time. And
did you get full mobility back?
Yeah, I'm still working like too on that, but like it's there. Yeah, I just like am trying to keep improving it. So
we'll keep working on that because
yeah.
Again, with our co-host, he's going to get his foot chopped off before the end of his life. His thing's all messed up.
Yeah.
Yes. No, so just stay on that.
Yeah. Definitely. You'll do great. Feels great, though.
A lot of that wall mobility, like put your foot 6 inches leaner in.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of that. Yeah. And it's really just to open it up and kind of make it feel good, you know, but like I don't really notice it at all, like running around or running
good.
Routes.
Love that.
So, you know, blocking anything like that. So
nice.
It's really just maintaining it. The biggest thing.
You guys, not only do you have the injury in 23, but then the Brian stuff happens middle of the season that comes out. The super awkward position that he's in of like, hey, we're going to be done with you at the end of the year, but you're still coaching. Right. Still show up. You're fired, but still show up. We're not salty. You can tell. We're big Brian guys. We love Brian around here.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have a lot of good things to say about him too. We won't get you into that. All of
you
that leads.
Been a position coach for a couple of years now.
Yeah. He was he recruited me and was my position coach the first 2 years.
Do you like Brian?
I love Brian.
Okay, good. We like Brian. Tim Lester comes in and now you're about to go into your final year. And now we have to learn a new offense and we have to create a new relationship with the new offensive coordinator. And how do you process that? And how quick does that all happen? And do you remember the first time Coach Lester walks in the room and what was that like?
Yeah, no, it was, you know, good. I love Coach Lester. Coach is he's a great coach, and definitely was nice to learn a new system and kind of, you know, learn new things really is the biggest thing for me. Like, I know it's an NFL system, so it was pretty cool to be able to, you know, have that, you know, under your arsenal, I guess. But, yeah, the first meeting, it was like he had just like a bunch of numbers on the board, and a lot of it's like, you know, what were we ranked last year? And they're all just like kind of different, like spread out and everything. And he was just like, we're just going to try to improve. And, you know, every day we're just going to come in here with the mindset of improving. And that was the biggest thing for us. So, it was good. Definitely a good first meeting, and just trying to go out there and be the best we can be. And, you know, we definitely felt that from him all season, and just trying to put us in the right position to succeed.
You probably felt a little bit weird. You know, you're in 21, things go fast, a career goes fast. Your injury then takes up a lot of your own personal time. You're sort of, you're with yourself a lot when you're injured, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of time to think about things. And then you're in your final year, coming about a year ago, you're about to enter 2024 season. Now you're the older guy in the room. You're the guy, and you have these young guns underneath you, and there's a little bit of a responsibility of, okay, I'm here to perform, do my thing, but I'm also, I have to take a leadership role. Mm-hmm. Did you see yourself sort of, you know, Laporta was once the leader of the room and you're underneath him. Did you see yourself evolve over the course of the 4 years? How do you see, or how would you describe that happening to you?
Yeah, for sure. I felt a lot last year as well. In 2023, you know, after my injury, you know, kind of knowing the offense the most, being a part of it for the longest time. You know, kind of when Sam left, you know, I felt like I kind of took that role. And, you know, even after I got hurt, you know, just trying to be in every meeting I could be in and help them out. And just like, you know, try to, if there's something on film that comes up that, you know, I can kind of tell them, you know, what might be better to do there. Or if something is like, if there's like a question someone has, just be there to answer it. So definitely, like, I felt like I evolved in that sense just from 23 or 22 to 23. And then from this year too, just being out there with them, you know, trying to be a voice on the field. And, you know, obviously we're all learning a new offense together. So we had a lot of guys too that, you know, were helpful for me too at points, you know, where right at the start, you know, you're learning and you're all learning together and writing stuff up on the board together, all just trying to learn. So it was good to have everyone in the room, you know, because I feel like everyone just wanted to learn and wanted the best for everybody. So, you know, I felt like that was the big thing, was we just wanted to be the best room we could be. So everyone's super great in there. And
couple of young guns with some talent in there. Huh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm excited to watch them next year and see how they do and who steps up as the leader in there. I know Addison will do great in that.
Yeah. I'd love to hear in your perspective, what Astrenga and Ortworth, what makes them special as players? Cause they have both flashed really well mm-hmm. in the last couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. I think that they are both just like extremely smart and extremely dedicated. I think that they do a great job of really studying a lot throughout the week. And like those two, like they're like, they bicker between each other all the time. Like,
oh, yeah,
they're super close, but then they go and like, they'll play golf against one-on-one golf, you know, on the Thursday off days.
Oh yeah.
Like just have like a great time, and you know, they're really close. So it was fun to watch their relationship kind of blossom and grow. And, you know, I'm excited for them because they've both got a bright future, and I think they'll do great next year. So it'll be fun to watch them.
Were you a golfer too?
Not as much as they were, and they're actually pretty good. Like I don't want to like put it out there, but you know, Zach beat Addy in their like head to head matchups. And
there we go.
Zach's like for real, and so is Addison. Addison is good too. I'm not like them. I golfed one time this last season or whatever. It was like in the spring too, so it was like after Saturday spring ball practice we went to Pleasant Valley
and the old PV.
And the rest of summer I didn't go. So
if the Hawks had to throw out like top two or three golfers on the team, who are you guys putting out there as your low score?
Okay, so I might not be the best person to ask this question because I don't really know too well.
Okay.
But I'd say Zach is probably pretty good without
the up there
team. And then there's Jameson Hines. He's a safety, and he could golf, I've heard. And he came in with me, came in together. And freshman year, he told me that he likes to golf. And but yeah, I think he could really, really play. So
there's always on a Division One football team, there's always guys where like a couple other sports, you could stick them out. Like, I don't know how good you were at basketball. I know you lettered four times. A lot of guys do, but during our time, there was some legitimate Division One potential hoopers. Yeah. And we just had Jay on last week, and I know he was pretty dang good at basketball in high school too.
Yeah, I know. We've all heard that.
He'd tell you guys that a lot.
He made it known. I don't know if he had any offer. I had an offer from Bowling Green.
Okay.
Play basketball, and I'm not sure he did or not, but we can just let that be known.
Okay,
we'll put that. On yeah, Jay's a good little player. He's a good player.
Good little player.
There it is. 6'1", buddy. You're short.
Right. No. We're close. So we'll probably play Fortnite or Xbox or something together here soon.
He told us you play Fortnite. We said that. So when we recorded with him, I'm like, yeah, I think I got Luke lined up for next week. And he's like, man, I'm surprised he responded to y'all. He's kind of ghosted on me. We usually play Fortnite together, but I haven't been able to get in touch with him.
Yeah, it's been tough. I've been calling it the lab, the office.
At
the lab all day long. You know,
when I hit you up, you gave me your schedule and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's tough. It's long, but I like it, you know, and you know, maybe I guess they're not. No, I can't really, but I just like to be in the office. I just like to be there, like we work out at 9:00. We work out at 9:00. We run at 9:00. Then we go back or you have like field work or whatever. Then you go back and have lunch. And sometimes you have meetings, you know, going over like some film or field work stuff. And then at 2:00 we lift. And then at 3:00 we have rehab. Then 4:00 you want to recover, you know, and make sure you're doing like getting in that hot and cold tub and or a sauna or something like that, or Normatec boots. So it's like, I tell you every time. And it's hard too, cause we're on a 2-hour difference now. Like it's, you know, we're not like a 5-minute drive from each other anymore.
You're about to have an interview for the biggest job up to this point in your life. And if you're going to be a professional athlete, you might as well start living like a professional athlete. And that's exactly what you're doing. I mean, these guys have all the, when you get paid that kind of money, you take care of your body and it's a job. Like you're spending 6-8 plus hours a day being a professional athlete. So this is it, man. This is it. You're getting a taste.
Definitely.
Not a lot of Fortnite in that life.
Not a ton of it. I feel bad. I do feel bad though, because he does text me like, hey, like I'm on. I'm like, sorry, dude. It's so sad. You know, I'll call him. But then, like, even on the weekend last week, I was in San Diego. Just like went down there because my brother in law and my sister were there and my niece, and we just like, I was like, Jay, I'm gonna I can't lie. I've never really been to San Diego. Last time I was 6 when I was there, and I'm going to go to San Diego. We're playing Fortnite. I'm sorry.
I can hear the hurt in your voice, and it's bringing to the surface everything that me and Kevin and Josie Jewel and Art, like the squad that we used to play with. Like, so picture this. Fortnite was at its peak in the semester that you are currently going through for us.
Okay.
No job.
Oh, that's tough.
No school. It was just train for 3 hours in the morning and then play Fortnite the rest of the day.
Oh, that's fun.
It was unbelievable.
That's fun.
And now at 30 years old, me and Kevin play collectively 0 Fortnite, and it's not that fun. It's
not to like, you know, put a damper on the mood, but you know, this is just the beginning, Luke. So you know, it's only going to get worse from here.
It disappears.
Video games with your buddies.
One day you look up, you got a console that doesn't even work, and you're like, what is life?
Right.
It's unbelievable.
You're going to log in 3 years later, and you're just going to get absolutely murked by some kid that has free time on his hands.
By some kid that's not even born yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's being conceived right now. Man. Hilarious. Well, I hope for your guys' sake, the Jay Higgins and Luke Lachey Fortnite sessions, you get a few in before you guys are both on NFL teams. Speaking of Jay, it seems like a pretty special class of guys that you ran the whole race with. Huge senior day, a lot of guys, a little bit of the COVID stuff factored in on that. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about your guys' class of 2020 and sort of what those guys mean to you and some of the more special characters in that group of guys?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we came in at a time where it was, you know, COVID. And so we were in the dorms with just, you know, the women's basketball team and the men's basketball team. So it was just us, you know, and nobody.
As an empty Peterson Hall.
Yes, very empty Peterson Hall. And it was a lot of fun. You know, we were all we had in there, and we had a good time. You know, we'd hang out with each other, go to workouts. But at that time, they didn't even really want you hanging around the facility. So like, yeah, it felt like we were just at the facility for our 2-hour lift and then at the dorms the rest of the time. So,
and then everything was online classes. So it was like you went to 2 different buildings.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. It was nuts.
So you got a lot of time with your new friends.
Yes, and it was good. Not in that sense, it was good. So we had a good time. But yeah, definitely it was super close with Jay and Deontay. And a big, you know, big reason was because we were on the same same floor right across the, you know,
of course,
the hall from each other. And then Logan Jones too. He was, you know, a little bit further down. And and then Deuce Hogan, the five of us, we were always together. So we had a good time. And, you know, and there's a ton of guys in that class: Ethan Herkett, Wyatt Black. You know, I don't want to forget anybody, but like those are just like people that are coming to mind right now that like we all ran the whole race. And, you know, Tyler Ellsbury, Mason Richmond, it was a great time that we had. And it was just fun to be in the dorms with them. And then, you know, to see everyone kind of grow up, and everyone, like, it was exciting when someone would go in there and make a play and you're like, hey, like, that's my guy, you know?
Yeah. Came in with him.
Right. So that was fun.
Is it crazy to look up 5 years later and see half of the class gone?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Because you just don't know who's going to make it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's what, like 25 maybe or more. I don't know the exact number.
I'm not sure.
That came in. But like there were 8 or 9, maybe 10 that left with us. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know.
I mean, those guys that you just named off there, I mean, huge, huge impacts to Iowa football over the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, that's something that you always be proud of too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And yeah, for sure, to be proud of that. And, you know, to see the success, you know, we've had was a lot of fun, you know, to reflect on. And it will be great to continue to reflect on. But yeah, I know it was just definitely great memories and really fortunate for it.
What was it like to – your dad was there on senior day, right? Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Yeah, it was super cool. You know, all week, you know, the big thing was that he was going to, like, miss in his first game in 368 games or something.
Crazy.
Something like that. Something outrageous like that. I don't know the exact number. But so that was – it was really special and, you know, something I knew I'd get asked about on Tuesday media. And so it was really cool. And to have my
– So that was the only game of your career he saw in person?
So no, he came to every like bye week that Ohio State had.
Okay.
And then when we played Ohio State, he got to call the games.
Oh yeah, of course.
Which we played them twice, and then sometimes we played Maryland in 2021 on a Friday night, and then Ohio State played Rutgers on Saturday. Okay. So he just drove
perfect
from Maryland. So
he saw a few
things like that. So he saw some, and yeah, he got to come to a lot of games, and he loves Kinnick Stadium. He thinks it's like the best atmosphere ever. Like, to have something going on between every break, he's like, that just doesn't happen at other places. And he goes to a lot of places and sees a lot of games, and just it's like so engaging and everything. Like, he was talking about how like great the atmosphere was for the Nebraska game, you know, and then to go
high
to,
praise for somebody who sees a lot of games in the shoe.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, it's just great. He loved the atmosphere that game specifically. And I don't know, it was special to have him there. But, you know, even to have my whole family there all together, my girlfriend, like it was definitely really special to be there with everyone, and to spend the rest of the week with them, or the weekend with them too, was nice. But my dad ended up finding a way to get back to that game.
I heard
they
Ryan
sent
Day
the jet.
Got him a PJ.
Yeah, he sent his jet.
Unreal.
Yeah, so it was like Wednesday. Yeah, it was Wednesday afternoon. He was doing like his show, like they do a show with Ryan Day. I think it's just like the Ryan Day show or something. And
can't be as good SID. As Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz.
No, I can't imagine. I can't imagine at all. But yeah, so it was their SID mentioned to Ryan that he wasn't going to be at the game this week, and he was just like, why not? He goes, oh, well, Luke's got his senior day. Like, I can't miss that. And he was like, okay, give me a couple minutes. And he goes off and takes a phone call, and he's like, okay, like, I'm going to have my private jet sent there for you. I really want you at the game. And my dad, he was just like kind of shocked. Like, he didn't really know how to respond. And, you know, obviously you don't say no to an offer like that. So,
yeah.
You know, it didn't really make my mom happy or my sisters. but for him to be like, I don't know how you'd say no to that. And that's what I told him too. So I was just like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. For your mom's like, finally, we get a family weekend. We can go to dinner with Luke. And then Ryan Day sends his private jet to get your dad back to Ohio. And yeah. She's just like, God damn it.
Right.
I just want one family weekend.
Exactly. And my brother too, like, he's not going to pass up an opportunity to get on private jet. So he went back with him too. He was like, he probably couldn't care for an 8-hour car ride home to Columbus. So he's like, an hour home plane ride is going to be sick. So he like put some like pictures on his Snapchat, like up and stuff. And
private like, jet, baby.
He took some pictures of himself on there. It's just like, I don't know.
That's so funny.
Super funny. But yeah, no, it's cool. I'm, you know, grateful for, you know, Ryan. It's super cool for Ryan Day to do that. And for him to be able to not lose his streak was cool too. So, you know, I don't know.
Speaking of, your dad's about to call a national championship tomorrow.
Yeah, about what time? 24 hours or so?
About exactly 24 hours. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. I think this is, I don't know. So his first one was 2002, and he says that one was super cool because that, like, for his
what lifetime. What was the pass interference?
Yeah, the pass interference. And he made a crazy call on that one. It's actually pretty cool to listen to, but just, like, so much energy on it. But that was like the first national championship like in his lifetime that he could remember. I think like 1968, they maybe won one, but he was like five, so he didn't really remember it. But so like to see that, he thought was super cool. And then I think he's like called maybe five after. I think they played in 06, 08, and then 14 and 20 is my guess there. So
I'm the wrong guy for stats like that. I'm the wrong guy.
Yeah, but. Yeah, it's
about right. Sounds about right.
Cool opportunity. Yeah, he's excited. So
who do we like? Do you think the Buckeyes roll, or
I think they're hard to stop right now. I don't know. Yeah. Notre Dame's got a really good defense. But
they do. Their secondary's dirty.
Yeah, exactly. So
I mean, that's the only chance they got.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be, but Ohio State's defense has also been playing lights out.
Nasty.
Too,
and, they're nasty.
Yeah. Just so who knows? Hopefully a good game.
You know. So you're out in Cali right now. You're basically living the life of a professional athlete. What's an ideal next 2 to 3 months look like for you? What's the goal when you sit down with these NFL teams? What are you trying to prove to them? What's Luke Lachey got to do to get his foot in the door and make it at the next level?
Yeah, I just want to do well in interviews is a big thing. You know, I've heard so many different things and, you know, kind of getting a little bit more clarity on that. So just trying to go out and perform well on that. And then I'm going to the Shrine Bowl.
Saw that today. Congrats. Week.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so I leave on Thursday for that. Just want to, you know, go there and, you know, play the best I can, play fast, you know, prove that I can learn an offense, you know, quickly. And, yeah, just, you know, things like that. It'll be fun because Jay and I are on the same team, so we'll be practicing against each other all week.
Let's go.
And Jamari Harris, too. And
he'll know your schedule, so you guys can play Fortnite cool. together.
Yeah.
Wait, what'd you say?
you guys can play
He's Fortnite. He's going to know your schedule so you can't dodge him in Fortnite.
I know.
Bring the sticks with you.
Right. I might need to bring the Xbox, but no, I'm probably going to be too busy then, too, but –
you say Jamari's on the team too?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so it'll be cool. It'll be cool to see them and be a lot of fun, I think. So, yeah, just excited for that. And then the combine, you know, just going and performing the best I can. I know it's a long week. But yeah, just right now, just doing the things that you can do every day to get ready for that. And, you know, I don't know.
Perform soak well. Everything
that,
in.
Yeah. And just, yeah, that's the thing too, is have fun with it. You know, I know it's a unique opportunity and, something I don't want to take for granted. And so I'm just gonna try to make the most out of it.
Whether it works out or not, there will be a day when the football's over. Mm-hmm. What's Luke Lachey going to be doing then?
That's a really great question.
Do you have any passion right now or any sort of idea, or are you just going
more Legos?
More Legos for sure. I'll be doing Legos.
Yes.
No, you know, I just want to be working with people, I think, in some, you know, way, shape or form. I don't know. I feel like I could, you know, make an impact in that area. Just in some, I don't know, some aspect.
That's good. That's good to know if you're a people person or not. Yeah. I'm not. I work fair. Alone and it's great.
Yeah. Fair enough. I love it. And then to each their own there. And I just think that I could make an impact there, but who knows? Yeah.
Grant, I'm going to let Grant ask some questions here. He's our producer that we don't let talk. He gets 3 minutes at the end of the episode. But before he steals a good one, I'm going to steal one that he probably wrote down. Luke, if you had to right now, money, not an issue, you just get a free Lego kit. You get a set. What set are you building? What are you choosing off the wall that you don't have yet or that you haven't got to do?
The Eiffel Tower, probably.
Ooh, okay.
That's a great choice.
Yeah,
great choice.
It's like, it's 10,000 pieces. It's probably the biggest Lego set they have. It's really, it's like, it's pretty tall. I don't know the exact dimensions, but that one for sure. So, and it's the most expensive one.
Great answer.
So it's like,
what's the time investment on something like that?
What is the time investment on something like that?
It's 4'8", so it's pretty massive.
A time investment on something like that, it takes some good time because I don't like to rush it.
Either. Dude, it's $630.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. I don't like to rush something like that, so it's like you want to take your time. There it is.
Amazing. Man,
beautiful. I have the Lego Titanic, so I do have the.
Ooh, that's sick.
That's about 4 feet long. Worked.
What like is it like post crash Titanic or is it pre crash?
It is pre crash.
Post crash Titanic.
It would be nuts if they like.
You just have a couple pieces scatter across the floor.
I don't know. Maybe they have like hinges or something. I don't know. Yeah. They don't do it, but.
Dude, so it was like a graduation gift to myself and like from my girlfriend. So like that's she insane. Gave me a gift card and then
$680.
Yeah,
do you put it in the bathtub. Do you put it in the bathtub and reenact?
It floats. You play with no. It's too big for the bathtub. I'll bring it in the pool with me and play with it in there.
Does it actually?
That's amazing.
Yeah,
it's incredible. It's cool. Okay, Grant, I'll let you go now. You can go.
I had Legos up at the top. Well, what's like, what are we building right now? And what is, or like you, it said Eiffel Tower is what you got your eyes on, but do you have like a current project you're working on?
So nothing now because I don't really want to have to like pack it away and like take it home from here. So I'm like fighting the urge, but, I was gifted the, Notre Dame. So actually this is a cool story.
Wow.
I went on the Big Ten Network and at the Big Ten Media Days and talked about how I liked Legos there. And then the Big Ten Journey did a story on me before the Ohio State week. And they went and interviewed my parents and they came and interviewed me and Jay and Coach Ferentz. But then they also came into my apartment and my girlfriend Emma and I built a Lego set there, just a small one. And then they aired it. And then the Lego group actually saw it and they reached out to me and were like, oh, like, we think your story is really cool. We're happy that you like built Legos during your injury. Like, we want to send you a set. So
dude, broker a little NIL deal. I know you do the Luke Lachey with the egg.
Luke Lachey. Yeah.
You gotta be Luke Lachego.
Luke Lachego is good too. That's a good, a good ad. I like it.
And then you just get free Lego sets, and they're like, yeah, you just post it on your story. We'll give you free – like, come on now. Get your agent on that, Luke. Let's go.
Right, I know. But, yeah, no, it was super cool. So they sent me the Notre Dame set in France, because I like asked for that one because I'd seen it like 2 or 3 weeks before it burnt down. So it was like something like kind of close to home there.
Oh,
so
okay. It like literally just reopened. Like
yeah, exactly. I listened to a podcast about that actually, and like how they rebuilt it and everything. It was pretty cool. But I don't know. So that's the one I want to build. Like that's kind of next. But then I have all these gifts for Christmas. Like
you're gonna have to get a basement that just is Legos, dude.
Right, that's it. Like Brendan Sullivan was our Secret Santa that we do, and he got me a Lego set.
Oh, is that still a thing?
Nice. What a guy.
Yeah, it is. It is.
We weren't getting Legos.
No, not everybody was. I was really fortunate that Brendan got me. We got a good relationship.
I'll never forget. Real quick story, because I'm just going to put it on blast. I'm pretty sure whoever got Steve Ferentz, obviously his dad is the coach, so his dad is in this meeting. Whoever got Steve as their
– I remember who it is. You want me to out him?
I don't remember who it is. You can if you – I don't think they'll care. But they got him like a
– oh, no.
Like it was like a three-film set of like an adult film and potentially a sex toy as well that Steve had to open up in front of the team and his father.
And brother.
That's tough.
Who was it, Kev? Will you out them? Was it your brother?
No. It was Desmond King.
Oh, Desmond got it for him. I do remember that. That was fun. Oh God. Oh, Secret Santa at Iowa is a great time.
It's fun. It's a good time. But yeah, I've got all these different Lego sets to build. But yeah,
that was the first year. We were told to turn it tame it down the following
several year. Notches had to come down several.
Yeah. We've been told it's rated PG-13, and not everybody follows that.
There were no rules that first
year. There were zero rules. Well, anything else, you two? I'm not going
to
hog the time.
Yeah, a couple other things. So continue on Legos. You're in Southern California. Are we going to Legoland anytime soon?
So when I was driving to San Diego, I saw the sign and I was like, I got to come back. So I think I'm going to make a trip there. Yeah, I will. Okay,
cool. I don't know if they got the dragon rides up anymore, but I was a big fan of the dragon stuff going on there.
Okay.
Other things we got to know before you leave. Can you just rank at least four, like one, maybe one to four, just Iowa tight ends? Don't say you. We'll just have you as like 1A.
Say me.
Then anyone else.
Okay. I'll go one, Dallas Clark.
Okay. Good choice.
TJ Hockenson probably too. And I'm just going to go solely based off their Iowa careers.
Sure.
Man, it's tough. Marv Cook.
Who is a
beast too. And then I got to put Sam up there.
Yes. Sam, sure. Sam is so low key good, but also,
yeah. And he leads Iowa tight ends in career receptions. So that's a,
there you go.
Yeah, that's worthy, I think. And Sam would be like he right. I'm sure if he heard that, like, he would be pretty upset that I included him in that. But but I'm always include him in that answer. So
sure, cool. And then last thing, I know you mentioned some Harry Potter going on. I love Harry Potter as well. Are you more of like are you a books guy? Are you a movies guy? Like, what is kind of your infatuation with Harry Potter? If you got a favorite like movie or so, then
I would love to hear that. I love them both. I love the books and the movies. I've read the books twice, and I read the books once I got injured last year. So that was something like I was doing because I didn't want to be in the locker room before the game on my phone and stuff like that. Just kind of irked me the wrong way. And I was like, so I read some books. I read like 3 books, and I was like, all right, I'm getting the Harry Potter series. So like, I don't think they minded me reading at all. And so I that was it. But then, yeah, my favorite book, I don't know. It's tough to go against the Deathly Hallows. Goblet of Fire is so good too, and there's so much that they left out. There's just so much they left out in all the movies.
I know.
You forget about in the books.
Oh,
Order of the Phoenix is good too. That book is really good.
They're all good.
They're all so good.
Yeah, is it bad?
Go ahead on every one.
I've seen all the movies, but I've read like half of the first book and I gave up.
The books are
not a huge reader.
As always, the
books. Is it bad that I haven't even read the books?
I think you need to read the books, but it's not bad. Like, you've seen the movies, like at least you've done one of them. But like the books, there's so much more detail in the books.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
I didn't even like reading as a kid, and I read the books.
So. There's not like any major plot details. You're like, actually, like Luna is like completely different in one book or something.
No. There's not nothing like that. I don't think there's just like,
there's just more to everything.
Yeah, definitely more to everything. Like, yeah, for sure.
Fair enough. Any nonfiction favorites? Favorite reads?
The Energy Bus. By John Gordon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading another one by John Gordon right now. It's about positivity, positive leadership in the workplace or something. Positive leadership. It's a good book. It just helps you stay positive. And John's a good guy and, you know, a great guy, I should say, and become a mentor and a friend. So it's cool to be able to read some of his things.
Well, it seems like you've got the positive side of things down after this hour. Everything I heard about you and everything we got to talk about here. We're super grateful for you coming on the show, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I know for a fact that everybody listening will have enjoyed the episode with Luke Lachey. We're going to continue to try and get Luke's teammates. We're going to just we'll pay them. We'll bargain with them to come on our show and keep us relevant. Again, thanks, Luke. And thank you to everybody that listened. We'll be back again this is going to be out on Thursday. We'll be back again Monday with somebody else. I think iColt might be coming on. Give a little update. We'll see you then. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.